I'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But by those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone."
Good morning, church. It's a blessing to be here once again with you. And if you are visiting with us this morning, I pray that you'll come back and join this assembly once again. David is gone this weekend, so you need to come back and listen to him as he preaches God's word and shares God's word with you. It is a blessing for me to come back once again and to join you. I wonder if you've ever looked into the eyes of a child. I love this time of year, this time of wonder that seems to be an amazement. Recently, Deb and I were involved in a parade, and you know, as the candy no longer is thrown out, it has to be handed. But as the kids come along, you know, they're so excited to see everything going on. And it's just an amazing time. As a grandfather, you hold a precious baby into your arms. And you think about the idea of what they will become. What opportunities lie before them. And I think sometimes that even as we contemplate that, we think about the idea that we hope that life does not smack them up beside the head. Life has a tendency to take all the wonder away. All of us have experienced that within our lives. This morning, I want to share a lesson with you. And I hope somehow or another you begin to grasp what you can become. And this passage of scripture is one that I hope that helps you to understand that you are God's treasure. As I thought about this lesson, there's a quote that actually is written in a book by Dr. Bill Flatt, who is a psychologist. And this summary, to me, relates the idea of our struggle. But it's a very personal struggle as well. The ideal self-image is not so much perfection as it is expectation. It has to do with one's goals and aspirations. It is our vision of what we have the potential of becoming. There are people at times who just kind of drift through life. Sadly enough, they never grasp often what is before them. Becoming who we are is directly connected with seeing ourselves through God's eyes. our potential of being. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what thoughts are going through your mind. I don't know what type of week you have had. I don't know what has robbed you. And I say robbed you of seeing what you can become. But I hope this morning as we go through this lesson, maybe you might begin to grasp. Begin to grasp what God has done for us. When you consider this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, 1 through 7, I think that we understand that we are God's building. That concept can be so far from us. To think that God who is spiritual, God who reigns in heaven, God who holds this world in his hand, God who holds our life in his hands, sees us. But he doesn't just see us. He helps us become. And he is designated here with the idea that we are God's building. We are living stones. We are a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood. We are the ones who actually offer God our service and our praise, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And Peter refers to this concept with the idea of this precious value. Have you ever gone to a flea market or to a sale somehow or another, and you just finally realize that what they are auctioning off or what they have to sell is of great worth for a cheap price? Deb read a little thing this morning about the idea of going to the flea market to find out that things are ancient or they have value. And you realize that they are ancient or they're called antiques because the people who previously owned them are now dead. And you take it home. What a strange concept. What a strange thought. But we realize that even as we surrender ourselves to God, God is doing something with us. He is building a house. Peter also speaks about the idea that you are chosen, not because of your performance, but because of his preference, because of his love, because of his gift through his Son. In Ephesians chapter 1, he begins with the idea of giving all these praise regarding the spiritual blessings that are actually found in Christ. It says, beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." We would say to ourselves, we're not holy, we're not blameless. But God had a plan that through Jesus Christ, we could become separate. He made us separate because he has forgiven us of our sins, because he holds us blamely. In love, he says, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. If you're not a child of God, I want you to understand that God loves you. That is God's intention. To be kind, to be generous, to be gracious, to be merciful to you through Jesus Christ. And he does this to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ, with a view to this administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, which he works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth of the gospel, your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. You are a part of God's plan. You are a part of God's purpose. You are his possession. You are his child. I don't want you to imagine, I want you to know that your father, in all of his blessings, in all of his gifts, in all of his ability, has lavished that upon you. Of all people, we ought to be the most grateful. We ought to be the most joyous. But what happens? Life. Life happens, and life sometimes causes us to take our eyes off of who we are. That we are God's child. You are also commissioned. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous life." It's not forced. It's not forced upon us. It's our privilege. It's not an obligation, but an opportunity. It's not sour, but sweet. Hebrews chapter 13, 15 and 16 speaks about the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, but because it comes from him, it is given from him. And so we are commissioned, but we are also conquerors. We're a holy nation, a people of God. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6 speaks about a kingdom of priests. That's who we are. That's who you are. But life so much gets in the way. We forget that this is how God sees us. We forget that this is how God has commissioned us. How God has drawn us to himself through Jesus Christ in order that we might be his people. In order that we might be his child. We are also cuddled. Did you notice as a people for God's own possession? God is jealous for us. He is jealous for us. No, every time this time of year and over Thanksgiving and on different occasions, we draw our family into our home. I'm learning more and more all the time that it's nice to sit and look and watch and listen. How precious are your children to you? You are even more so precious to God. God calls you his child. And I think to myself, how can he? We're such a mess at times. But God works in our lives. God desires that somehow or another we could see ourselves through his eyes. That's what he does in this passage. A child of the Creator, we've chosen, we're commissioned, established as conquerors, and privileged to be his. Privileged to be his. You know, it's too easy at times to leave an assembly like this, and a weekly assembly like this, and just get caught back up in life and allow life to direct and to allow life to give us the image that it wants to give us. But it gladdens God's heart. It gladdens his heart for us somehow or another to see ourselves the way that he sees us. We need reminders. I don't know, you stick a sticky note up on your mirror that says, I am God's child. I don't know that we need to teach our children that we teach them they are God's child, but they need to respond back to us that we are also God's child. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are the people of God. You are. You are the people of God. You have received mercy. When we see ourselves through God's eyes, there's reason to scream and shout. I contemplated whether I wanted to do that or not. I placed fireworks up here because you know how it is on the 4th of July, or you know how it is New Year's Eve when the fireworks go off. Television is there. If you're standing out in a crowd when the fireworks go off, there's always, ooh, ah, wow, did you see that? The amazement of the beauty of what you see. That is exactly how God sees you. That's how God sees you. What keeps us from seeing ourselves that way? Well, we know ourselves. And sometimes we say to ourselves, we know ourselves better than God, but you've forgotten that God knows everything. And yet, God still sees you like this. His possession. His child. And he longs to lavish his blessings upon you. If you're not a child of God this morning, you can be. You can come realizing that God has given his son for you. Jesus died upon a cross in order that you might be forgiven in regard to your sins. It's as simple as a confession of belief in who Jesus is. The challenge of repenting from sins, the challenge of changing your life, turning your life back around and living for Him, and being buried with Him in the water grave of baptism to rise to a new life to be called a child of God, His possession. As you go through this Christmas season, Christ is reflected in this world. Of course, it gets distorted by a lot of stuff. But Christ is remembered. God is glorified. But you have a place. You have a place. You are a child of God. I hope later on today, anytime, when you rise tomorrow morning and the morning after that, and every morning that exists, that when you look in the mirror, somehow or another, you can just say, I am a child of God. It'll make all the difference in your life. If you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come. But maybe as all of us rise and all of us sing this invitation song, maybe we can just say to ourselves, that I'm going to make the claim, not because I have the power to do that, but because God has given me that. God has given me life in Jesus Christ, and I will live as God's child. Let's stand and sing.